I'm facilitating the topic today, which is the trail of generosity. And so let's go ahead and remind ourselves that Commitment Sunday is coming up next Sunday. And so this presentation today will be somewhat related to our 2021-2022 stewardship campaign. And so it's real exciting for me to have the opportunity, along with the stewardship committee and with staff, particularly Sherry Grindlin, to kick this off. And so we do in the presentation mix metaphors a little bit, though, but that's going to be fine because the video that I'm going to show in a bit is really powerful, and it has a really strong generosity theme to it. So we're going to first start off, explore the trail of generosity, and then I guess I have the handy dandy slide flipper here. So I'm going to go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Gracious God, thank you for walking with us, for leading us, carrying us many times along this trail, this path, this journey that we take with you. Thank you for being with us. As we move forward into this holiday season, we pray for friends and family and for our world as a whole. And please, God, help us to understand the things that we need to put into our faith backpack. And we'll get to understand that in a little bit. So in your holy name we pray, amen. All right, and so we've gone through the respect guidelines. I'm going to skip on to the next slide here. This is just to reintroduce who's currently on the stewardship committee, and also by the end of this presentation, I'm going to have a couple of other people that are going to volunteer to be on this committee this year because it's been fun. So keep in mind that this is my opportunity to also recruit, and I will do that unapologetically. So here's that video that I want to play.
Yeah, dude. No. Why don't you get something special for Grandpa? Can I return the cake, please?
Sure, yes.
I want the cake, please. I won't ask for anything else.
Next time, okay, when we can afford it.
Last time you said that.
You don't want that? I'll take it back. Hello, this is for you.
No, we cannot accept it.
Would you please?
There's no reason for you to buy the cake for us.
Well, when I was 7, my mother wanted to buy me a cake.
Mommy, I want this one!
inside the counter. We didn't have enough.
Can we get something else?
It's my birthday today. Can I get my own cake, please?
I'm sorry.
Then, there's this man. I've never met him before.
Yeah, that's a cake. Happy birthday.
I didn't know his name. I never got a chance to say thank you. I've never forgotten about him. The man in the queue. No, thank you.
Can I have your contact number? Let me repay you when we have the money.
Promise me something, okay? Someday, when you're able to help somebody, you will do it?
May I know your name, please, sir?
Well, I'm the man in the queue.
Wow, this is my favorite. Thank you.
Let's go and put some candles.
Oh, careful.
I mean, you shouldn't have spent the money.
Actually, I haven't paid for it.
Give me this note.
Please write down your address. I'll bring the money back to you later.
Acts of caring creates an endless ripple.
That one gets me every time. Every time I watch this, it really isn't a mask. It's really a tear dauber. Had that kind of experience where they've been able to kind of share something selflessly, and then later somehow it kind of all comes back. Anybody have an experience that they wanted to share? It's okay if you don't. But yeah, this is an instance when the internet actually has something really good and meaningful out there to take a look at. So I'm glad that we could share that together. Any other comments or anything that they want to say about this video? Yes, Jean? No? Oh, okay. All right, well, so keep that locked in your mind, how, you know, that along this trail of generosity, how we have opportunities to selflessly give and experience the type of growth that we can have from that. So we'll jump into the next slide. Oh, I'm sorry. I have the control. And then you know, this is one of the things that that as we talk about stewardship, I quickly wanted to remind people how our contributions, how those are allocated. And it's I took the opportunity to use our values to try to frame how those allocations work. So in worship, about 24% or 24 cents on the dollar goes toward worship. And that's, you know, everything from the building to also salaries and the programming, the musicians we have come in and help to facilitate our worship service. Discipleship, that's 23%. Outreach is 33%, and that is reflected in our benevolence and our giving to some of the programs outside of our church congregation. And then relationship, that's our fourth value, and that's 22%. And that captures a lot of things that are kind of, that have a lot to do with education and also some of the other programming things that we do internally. So any questions about that? Discipleship has a lot of education in it, and that's where you've got a lot of the education programs. Also, it takes into consideration the building, because it's how we use our building, say this wing over here, for to invite people into the church to take advantage of the space. But building and salary is allocated, distributed equally across all of those too. So that's where they a lot of that. Excuse me, I'm trying to catch my breath still after that video. does that answer your question? Okay, and I think that answered a question that was on the video feed, Jean.
How you did salaries and products, equipment, materials, all of that other stuff.
Right. Yeah. So you take the building, allocate it across all four value areas. Same with salaries. And then if you take a look at the annual budget, and you'll see a lot of things that naturally fall in there based on the heading. So like outreach is a main heading that would automatically go into, and that's outreach programs, and the same with a couple of other things out of the budget. They naturally feed into our values. So I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I did want to kind of share how, you know, when you, with your commitment, you know, how some of those dollars are allocated. Let's change gears a little bit. One of the things that I love to do is make lists. Does anybody else in the room make lists? Yeah. What are some examples we make lists of? What you got to get done during the day? Honey-do lists? Yeah. Christmas lists? Sure. Grocery lists, what you didn't get done yesterday and still needs to get done. In a conversation, I'm sure that Bishop Shelley, we wouldn't mind me sharing this, in a conversation I had with her a couple years ago, she said that members of her family give her a bad time because she will make a list of the things that she's already done. I can totally relate. I've done that before where I'm like, what did I do yesterday? I'm going to write that list down. So when we were thinking about our stewardship campaign for this season. We were talking about a couple different things, and actually Gene Wallstrom back there came up with, said, oh yeah, you know, I make up all kinds of, you know, the 10 essentials and of whatever it is. And in this case, we drew the comparison to 10 essentials of backpacking. And then we kind of translated that over to, well, you know, if Christ's going to walk with you, you probably want to have some things with you. What are the 10 essentials of discipleship? And we said, well, the number 10 isn't very biblical, so we'll just bump that up to the 12 essentials of discipleship. So we decided to that's going to be the theme for this coming stewardship season. And along the way, we're every month we're going to reveal what one of those 12 essentials could be. And one of the things that's fun about this is that your 12 might be different than somebody else's, but it's going to be an opportunity to explore what some of these are. So I'm actually, if you want to share what some of your essentials might be that you put into your discipleship backpack, you can go ahead and write them down on a sticky note and leave them with me, and we'll take a look at these, and it's possible that maybe one of your 12 essentials will be included. So, Becca, could you pass out a couple sticky notes, and if people have something that they want to write down? So, actually, I was frantically running around the house this morning to collect what it is that I would need if I was going to go on a backpacking trip today, just to see how quickly I could be prepared to do something like take a 6-mile hike or something. And so what did I come up with? What's in that backpack? What would people think would be important for them to go on a backpacking trip today? Yeah? Water. I could do that. Hydration packs, very important for a trip. Right. Today, a rain jacket would be very important. I also like to make sure that I have some gloves. Speaking of warmer clothes, and in this bottomless pack, there's a beanie. I like to hike with that for the first 15 minutes before I start getting too sweaty and it comes off. Oh, that's a good one. I've got that. It's a direction finder. The thing about the compass, though, sometimes you have to know where you're at or where you're going in order to make it work properly. A map is a good thing to have when you're trying to use your compass. Absolutely. Food. We like a little nutrition. Sure. I've got a fig bar. I don't know how far that's going to get me down the trail, but okay. So far, I'm batting 1,000. I'm ready. Got the first aid kit. Like to make sure there's some moleskin in this first aid kit because sometimes blisters can. Anything else? I think I can do a flashlight. There's a flashlight. And somewhere in here, I also have a headlamp because I like to keep my hands free. Get to that later, but there's the flashlight. I do have the cell phone, yes. Sometimes I'll have that backup battery for the phone, right? Okay, a couple other things I have in here. My wife knows well that I never leave home without toilet paper. I also like to carry some rope, just in case. I've never needed to use the rope, but I'm always ready. Sometimes you take a camera. I like to have sunglasses, sunscreen, little Carmex for the lips. I don't have any bug spray in my backpack today. So here are a couple things that I also carry with me. I always have a little wooden cross in my backpack. And in here somewhere, I have this little New Testament Bible that I pack along too. So those are a couple of essentials that I include. Here's that headlamp I was talking about. Some people like to journal when they're out on the trail. This might be a little heavy. Yeah, sure, small catechism. And then when you reach the summit, here's some binoculars. So that's what I have in my backpack today. And I think I would be pretty well equipped. I think, though, that with the wind blowing like it is today, I probably wouldn't be hiking in the trees. I went on a hiking trip a couple weeks ago, and there's a lot of blowdown from previous storms. So that's, sometimes you have to be aware of your surroundings and the conditions before heading out. Oh, yeah. Okay. So like a heating blanket, warming blanket, one of those foil things. Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, and I have on the chair here, I have hiking poles and hiking boots. A good worn pair here. So anyway, the questions on the screen there, what mountains have you climbed in your life? And these could be a literal mountain or a figurative mountain. And did you experience God's presence on that journey? Anyone want to share an experience? Yeah. I went on a short trail run. It was like 5 miles on the Tiger Mountain complex a few years ago, and I had this really, really powerful just sense of God being there with me. There were a couple things going on in my life, and it was just one of those overwhelming moments where, you know, I'm out running and I just had to stop because it was just a very powerful emotional moment for me. And sometimes when you're out there in nature, you can feel that. I've had that also when I've gone cross-country skiing, where you just, the world around you is quiet. There's no distractions. And you just really get to feel, open yourself up to the presence of God in your life. So one of the things that I've had a lot of discussions with my own family about is, when did you reach the summit or the goal or the end? Sometimes you reach what you think is the end when it's really just another step in a longer journey. Has anybody ever felt like they reached an end or a goal or had that summit moment only to realize that, oh, this was a false summit. I still got some more climbing to do. If you've ever hiked Mailbox Peak, you reach a couple of those false summits. Education is a great example. Sometimes the end for one person isn't the end for another. I have a couple of good stories where I've taken Stephanie on bike rides and I've said, oh, we're just going to take a 20-mile ride, which turns into a 50-mile ride. And she thought it was really just going to be the 20-mile ride. So sometimes you need to have a shared understanding of what the conclusion is. And that leads into the next, who did you take along with you on this journey? You know, God's walking with you, but maybe you, maybe you're doing it with, you know, your family, friends, maybe strangers in some cases. So let's jump into the next slide. And this is where we'll have the opportunity to jot down on that piece of paper. I don't know if everybody has something to write down, but what would a couple of your essentials be in your discipleship journey? The Bible? Absolutely. Any particular Bible? Like, do you have a favorite Bible or a family Bible? Music is an essential for your discipleship journey. Some dollars. Yeah, some money. Having money on your discipleship journey to help keep it going. Compassion and gratitude. Excellent. Yeah, the values, I think, are a good place to start, too. We have worship and outreach and discipleship, of course, and then relationship. Any other friends? Church home? Yeah, absolutely. A place to call home. Okay. Openness, willingness to grow and learn. Does anybody else have anything that they wrote down that they wanted to share? So having some good source material, having devotions, that can be essential. Oh, I remember. Having, you know, faith and grace and forgiveness. These are some things that you might reflect on, too, as including in your on your discipleship journey. Forgiveness for me is always a difficult one. There will be some essentials that you might have on your journey that, you know, are challenges too. There are those that are comforting, but also those things that you take along with you that you recognize you need work on. Let's see. So I don't know that I have another slide after this. I think that kind of concluded everything that I had prepared today. Clearly, it only took me a few minutes to find some stuff to throw into this backpack this morning. Although I did leave a mess in a couple spots in our house trying to find the things that I wanted to bring. And so we need to remember along those lines that sometimes our journey might be messy. And that it's, you know, just being patient and recognizing that God is with you and that we're with you as a church congregation as well. And so with that, I will go ahead and lead us in a closing prayer. Lord God, you led us through a little journey this morning, a little 45-minute journey on reflecting on generosity and need in our generosity journey with you. Over the coming weeks and months, we pray that we recognize those gifts that you have given us and that we can put those into our faith backpack, but also take those things and share them out with your community, Lord, with the people here locally, throughout the world, and just to recognize that we have an opportunity to share our gifts. With that, we pray in your holy name. Amen. All right, thanks, everybody.